just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be here this morning, Lord God. Thankful for the moving of your Spirit, Lord, during the time of worship. We pray, Lord, you'll anoint us, dear God, to bring your word this morning to be a deliverance and a help and an uplifting to the people, Lord. We pray that you would receive glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 15. And we're going to continue on with another, about badger skins. Mark, chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading verse 22. Praise the Lord. And they bring him unto a place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them that every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, labakta sathani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Amen. You may be seated. Now, what we have been reading was the dying of the flesh of Jesus Christ, crucified his flesh, that badger skin that veiled Almighty God, that God was hid behind. And you can see that when he died, God left him to die as a man, because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt it leave, because God cannot die. So Jesus died as a man. And when this veil, the flesh that he was living in, when it died, gave up the ghost, then the veil that hid the Ark of the Covenant there in the Temple of Solomon was rent from the top to the bottom to expose the mercy seat to all. Now, you can be assured that the priest had that veil repaired, because they did not see the significance of it. they had no revelation of what had took place or what they had done. They had no revelation of what God was doing at that time. It was completely veiled before their eyes spiritually. And it still remains veiled today to them. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to go and reveal himself to the Jews. And he'll show them the nail prints in his hands and his feet. And they'll say, "Where did you get those?" And he'll say, "In the house of my friends." And he'll reveal himself that he, in fact, was their Messiah. And it will call out 144,000 that will be saved. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. I've got quite a few scriptures here, and I'll try to take my time so that you can turn to them. While he was in this veil, this flesh veil, the badger skin, as Brother Branham called Jesus' flesh, while he was there in that flesh, he was tempted. And we read this here in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." That means he didn't come down as an angel, but he actually took on flesh just like you have. "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted." And that word "secure" means help. He's able to help those that are tempted because he suffered being tempted just like you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Now there's the thing that Satan likes to try to shake, is your profession. And the way he tries to shake your profession is by constantly pointing you at this old badger skin, your flesh. I think in the previous services we've already established this old flesh we live in is full of mistakes. It's full of faults. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." You understand that sentence? It's saying, in other words, what it's saying is, it's saying we have not, that cannot be, but it's actually saying what we do have is a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that word "infirmities" means your weaknesses. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So, even though you're living in this badger skin, this flesh, and you're tempted, and you make mistakes, and you fail many times, but what Paul wrote here is, even with all that, still come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to try to sneak up to it. You don't have to try to crawl up to it come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because he paid the price for you at Calvary. Brother Branham said, your mistakes, that's what he died for. Friends, look, when he was dying, we read this, him being crucified. When he was being crucified, you were on his mind. That's why he was crucified. Look, he didn't have to do that. He could have went straight up into heaven being transfigured like he was on the Mount Transfiguration. But he chose this path. Now, in the flesh, when he was in the garden, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, because in his flesh, he would have rather just stayed with the disciples. But there was something within him. He knew that even his disciples would be lost if he didn't go to the cross. He had to die. It didn't matter how much time the disciples spent with him. He had to die for their sins. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend in church, unless you confess your sin unto God and get saved and accept that his blood cleanses you from all sin. Hallelujah. This is in the message, the Identity of Jesus Christ, preached in 1949. Brother Branham said, it was Christ Jesus, and God himself coming out of spirit went into Christ Jesus. And the Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Is that right? God himself, Jehovah, lived in Christ and was made a kinsman to us. Now, it means when you look back in the Old Testament at the story of Ruth, you find that Ruth needed to be redeemed. To be redeemed, it took only a near kinsman, somebody related to her, was the only one that could redeem her. It's the story of Boaz and Ruth. And Boaz was related. And the only way you could be redeemed is somebody had to be stand for you that was related to you. And the only way that God could be related to you was he had to come down in flesh and live in a body just like you are, just like you do, so that he could be a near kinsman to you. Because he was born in human flesh like we are. The blood cells were developed by God, and the flesh cells were developed in the womb of Mary. That brought forth the child. And God came down and lived in human flesh and was tempted in every manner just like we are. Do you believe that? Now then, when he did that, he freely gave his blood. We said he didn't have to. He made the sacrifice. He could have went into heaven and never died for us, but he was willing to die for us. He thought we were to die for. He freely gave his blood. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. One of these days, we're going to have a projector and where we'll be able to project these scriptures up on a screen so you can see them and it make it easier for you to read along. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Any temptation you face, Friends, look, somebody else out there has faced the same temptation or is facing the same temptation. Many times we don't always see what goes on in each other's lives from day to day, from week to week. We see each other at church or at fellowships or gatherings or when we go out to eat with one another. But we're not there day in and day out. So we don't know the trials and temptations that others go through. And many times in our minds, we get to where we'll actually lift other people up, because when we see them here, it seems like they're always up on top. And we come in dragging in sometimes and we feel like we're as low as can be because of something that's happened or something that we've done the past week. And we've got everybody else lifted up as angels. But they're not. Everybody's just like each other. My flesh ain't no different than your flesh. My flesh is tempted just like your flesh is tempted. And I can say that because Christ's flesh was tempted just like your flesh is. That's what this is saying. So there's no temptation you're facing what that's not common to everybody else. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, there's almost nothing like the feeling of going through something you're tempted by and not giving in to it. And there ain't nothing that makes you feel more low down than to be tempted by something and then give in to it. Brother Branham was talking about Jesus coming down to the waters when John was baptizing people. And John said, you know, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And John said that every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. And while John was preaching, here comes Jesus. Jesus is ready to start his ministry. And he comes down to the water, and John doesn't want to baptize him because John is believing who he is, even though it hasn't been quite confirmed to John yet. But John's saying, you should be the one baptizing me. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, for it fulfilleth all righteousness. It had to be so to fulfill the scripture. The sacrifice had to be washed. So John baptizes Jesus, and straight away, you know, the voice of, you know, he sees the Spirit like a dove descending and ascending on Jesus. And then we hear the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then immediately after that, we find Jesus goes out into the wilderness to fast 40 days and to be tempted of the devil. Brother Aaron says, every man and woman, as soon as you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, immediately the devil sets in from every side. We'd like to have something that we could get where we wouldn't face temptations no more. That happens with the body change. We haven't got there yet. So the Holy Ghost doesn't relieve you from being tempted, but it helps you to overcome the temptation. But when you get the Holy Ghost, this old flesh, that badger skin we're always talking about, it don't get it. It doesn't change. You still got the same old stinking flesh. And you still got the same old mind. And you can still have the same old thoughts. And still have the same old temptations. But there's something that's changed down in your soul. Though the flesh may desire, the soul doesn't desire it. The soul desires after God. And Brother Bram says, God ain't looking at your mistakes. He's looking at your heart's desire. Brother Bram goes on to say, he says, every time you get healed, here comes the symptoms moving right around again. You know, look, if the devil don't set in on you, then something's wrong. You need to come on back down and find out what's wrong. And Brother Ram says, when you get healed, if the symptoms don't come back, then something's wrong. He said, if the symptoms... Here comes the moves around again. If it didn't, be careful. See, Satan's always around to detect what God's doing. Now here in the message of the resurrection, 1953, Brother Ram says, temptation is not sin. Heeding your temptation is sin. You can be tempted. Christ was tempted like we are, but never sinned. He had to be free from sin so that he could be our perfect sacrifice. So that Pilate could stand there on that day and say, I find no fault in him. When he was inspecting, Pilate didn't even know what he was doing. But what he was doing was he was inspecting our sacrifice. And he said, I don't find any fault with it. See, when they would bring a lamb to be sacrificed, they would have to inspect the lamb. And it had to be a perfect lamb. Because it was going to be the sacrifice. So it had to be found perfect, and Christ was found perfect. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. See, Satan many times wants to tell you, well, if you got it, you wouldn't sin. And every time you do sin, he wants to condemn you. First John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So this is in the Bible. So every time Satan comes to you and tries to condemn you over your sin, you just take him and say, wait a minute. If I try to say, you're trying to say I shouldn't have no sin. But the Bible said, if I say I have no sin, I'm a liar. And God's not even in me. See, God can be in you, but this flesh can still make mistakes. See, why I felt led to go through all this, and I've still got more scriptures. I'll talk while you turn to the going down to the second chapter of 1 John. And is because Satan, see, the devil, he's always trying to prove you ain't got it. And he's always trying to tell you, you ain't going in the rapture. And he's always trying to get you to doubt whether you've been saved or not. Nick, can you go back and check the office, please? So he's always trying to get us to doubt whether we've got it, or whether we're one of them, or whether we're going in the rapture. So what I have felt led of God is to show you that all the things the devil points at is not what we should even be looking at. Because what the devil points at is this old badger skin. When he tries to get you to feel discouraged, when he tries to get you to feel like something, you know, he tries to de-Christianize you is what he tries to do. And friends, look, if the devil ain't trying to discourage you from coming to church, then you better check the church you're going to. The devil tries to discourage everyone. He's always trying to slip in somewhere. And try to bring a discouragement to you, to try to condemn you. Now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, that word advocate means someone to plead your case. And Jesus, like an attorney or a lawyer, and Jesus can plead your case because he's been in your shoes. And he can plead your case not only because he's been in your shoes, but because he did not sin. He was made your perfect sacrifice. And he is the propitiation for your sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friends, for our sin, we are worthy to die. We'll read here in a little bit where it says the wages of sin, in other words, what you get paid for, sin is death. But he took our place so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He took our place. He was the propitiation for our sin. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going to read about what Paul's talking about, people who actually have the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have we ever been guilty of having corrupt communication come out of our mouths? Most certainly everyone has experienced this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, see, Paul's talking about people that's been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And you're sealed, and when it says sealed unto the day of redemption, it's talking about until the day of the body change. So, between now, where you're at now in this badger skin, till the time that you actually get to trade off this badger skin for a glorified body, from now to then, you're still sealed by the Holy Ghost. You can't lose it. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And whenever you grieve the Holy Spirit that's in you, friends, you feel it. You feel the grief. You feel you've grieved it. And God may even pull back his presence from you a little bit. It's where all of a sudden you feel, well, I don't feel so godly right now. I don't feel much like a Christian. You want to get that feeling to come back? Just do what the scripture says. Now let's go on and read. Let all bitterness. You mean that I'm going to have to deal with bitterness even after having the Holy Ghost? Yep. Why? Because you're in this badger skin. This badger skin gets its feelings hurt. Sometimes easy. This badger skin can get the feelings hurt and actually get angry about it. But it doesn't mean that you're not sealed until the day of the body change. What it means is when you feel that come on you, that bitterness come on you, you need to rebuke that thing. No, I'm not going to be bitter toward that person. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they said. I'm not going to let a root of bitterness get in me. Friends, it ain't worth missing the rapture. It's not worth grieving the Holy Spirit over. And if you've been sealed, you can't miss the rapture. I've had people do things to me and then say, I know you hate me. I said, nope, you ain't worth it. I'm sorry, you're not worth hating. Ain't nobody worth it. That doesn't mean I want to sit down with them. That doesn't mean I want to go out to eat with them. Have fellowship with them. It don't mean I want to talk to them on the phone. Why? Because I don't want to hear their corrupt communication. I only want to hear things that's going to edify. Things that's going to do good for you. things that's going to lift you up. That's what that means. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So even after being sealed by the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to put off or rebuke or resist these things. You're going to be tempted to be bitter. You're going to be tempted to let your anger get the best of you. You're going to be tempted when somebody says something bad about you, you're going to be tempted to turn around and get payback. But that don't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. Being tempted is not sin. When you feel that come on, and friends, look, we're of this flesh and this human mind that we have. It doesn't always catch that real quick and rebuke it real quick. Sometimes in our thoughts, our thoughts will begin to dwell on it. And the more you dwell on it, the worse it gets. And the worse it seems. As humans, we have trouble with letting things go. Somebody says something that hurts our feelings, we have trouble getting over it. You might even be tempted to do something physical or feel like you'd like to. That doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. What that means is you still got badger skin. That's what that means. The Holy Ghost don't get its feelings hurt. Your soul doesn't get its feelings hurt. That's in your spirit realm. And those five gates that Satan likes to get all clogged up. So where somebody, he wants to get you where you're sitting in church under the preaching and not hearing a thing. Stewing over something. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgive. Well, they didn't ask me to. They don't have to. How many people, when we read this about what the different ones were saying while Christ was being crucified, how many of them were out there saying, forgive us? But what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. This is a message of expectation. And when he was here on earth, after he was filled with the Spirit at the baptism of John, he went into the wilderness and was tempted 40 days. Coming out, the devil met him. He was, of course, just the anti-type of Moses. And Moses, the devil tempted Moses on his weak point. What was Moses' weak point? Moses had anger issues. It's in the scriptures. Moses had anger issues. He said he tempted Moses, the devil tempted Moses on his weak point, and Moses with his temper, broke the commandments that were of stone. Remember? He come down off there from receiving the Ten Commandments and saw what they were doing. He got so angry at them, he threw those tablets where God had carved out with his own finger the Ten Commandments and broke them. Brother Branham said that had to happen because it showed the priesthood was going to be broken. But Jesus, his weak point, he was hungry. He had been fasting 40 days. And when Satan met him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus now, with all the powers of God in him, yet he never used any of his powers. He brought it right down simple enough that the weakest of Christians can do the same thing. See, Jesus, remember, he turned the water into wine at that wedding. That was Jesus' first miracle. Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. He had all the power of God in him. But see, you don't have that power. There ain't nobody walking around turning water into wine. Jesus walked on the water. If you tried it and didn't know how to swim, you'd drown. Jesus had all the power, but what he wanted to do was he wanted to overcome this temptation so that the weakest of Christians could turn around and do the same thing to overcome their temptation. And he said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Turn me to Romans chapter 6. Verse 16 is where we're going to start reading. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Now Paul here is writing, and he's going to be talking about what you yield to. Whatever you yield to, that's what's got control of you. That's whose, Paul puts it this way, that's whose servant you are. Now let's begin reading chapter 6, verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." And he's talking about the word that you hear preached. You've yielded to that. Friends, sometimes that word comes and it scorches us. Because sometimes things that we think we're okay with, we got by with, the word comes and says, "No, you need to make that right." You know, friends, look, there is, John says this. He says, "Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance." In other words, if you truly repented, show forth the fruit that you've repented. Because repentance is a two-part thing. It's one, asking for forgiveness, and two, turning from the sin that you needed forgiveness from. And friends, if you've said evil things about people, you can't just say, "Well, I'm going to get right. I'll start coming to church, and I'll just get right." If you don't go make those things right, there ain't no way God's even going to hear your prayer. Sometimes people, I guess they think they can just say whatever they want to say and it'll never get back to that person. That's false. It will eventually find its way back. Satan will see to that. Because he wants to attack the person that they've spoke evil about. When somebody speaks evil about you, Satan wants you to know. Because he wants to see how you're going to react. So you can't just fly off the mouth and think it ain't going to get around. It will. Especially if you got children. Because they will tell on you. Boy, I tell you what. Have some grandkids. You people that have children, there are no secrets. What goes on in your house is going to get broadcast. Not only that, if you talk bad about somebody, your kids are going to act funny around them when they see you. Oh my. Let's get back to here. Let's back up and just read this again because I don't want to take it up in the middle. Know ye not, verse 16, that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. That means the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you were the servants of sin, you didn't feel bad about doing it. But now, when you do something, you feel bad about it. That just proves God's done something in your life. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. This is in the message of a hidden life in Christ. Many times, Brother Ram says, many times we substitute so much instead of the word, especially today. We're substituting phenomenal. We're substituting a lot of other things that shouldn't be. After all, church is for the preaching the word. Testimonies are fine. Different things that we do is wonderful. But we must give the word first place because it's for the sinner and for the people that has the Holy Ghost also. Jesus said when Satan tempted him, he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, the Holy Spirit feeds on the word of God. So when you come here, that the Spirit of God that's in you, friends, it's feeding on the word that's being preached. It strengthens you. When you take what's being preached and you believe it, then when you go out of here, you're a stronger person. He takes the word and places it in your heart and makes you grow in strength. Good Bible expositions. And I love it. I love to sit and hear a good Bible teacher who takes the Bible and lays it out. Then the spirit of kindness and meekness with it, where it takes root in good, soft ground and goes to growing. So that's what happens when you come in here. The word that's being preached, you believe it, you take it in, and it begins to grow in you. And little by little, you become more changed. Every time you come in here, you leave different than how you walked in. You leave better every time. That's why there's a desire in you to come. Now, this is in the message of Redeemer, 1955. He said, what did he redeem? He redeemed your soul from hell. He redeemed them and brought back everything that Adam lost. And when he put you in the pawn shop, Jesus Christ on Calvary was your kinsman redeemer that redeemed you from every curse of the devil. He redeems your soul. He redeems your sick body. He redeems your weary, dreary spirit. He brought you happiness. He brought you joy. He brought you, that's what redemption brought you. Brought you peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and power. The Holy Spirit. And brought you divine healing. All these things Jesus Christ brought to you because he was our kinsman redeemer. He came to earth, he suffered as a man, he was tempted in all manner like we are, yet without sin. He came, become a perfect kinsman redeemer. He suffered in his body and bore our infirmities in his body to take it away, and came down to become kinfolks. God condescending, coming down. So my hope is that from hearing all these messages on the badger skin, that you'll quit looking at your flesh. Quit looking at your mistakes, your failures, your faults, your temptations. And look at the change that's happened on the inside of your life. And if you sin, confess your sin. The Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Hallelujah. If you sin against God, confess it to God. If you sin against your brother, then confess it to your brother. If you sin against your sister, then confess it. If you sin against your wife, you've got to confess it to your wife. If you sin against your husband, you got to confess it to your husband. I'll tell you a little story Brother Branham tells about. It says there was a woman that she was just about to lose her mind. And she had been a Sunday school teacher. And something was going on with her where she was just about to lose her mind. And so she come to see Brother Brown. And Meadie was telling him, you know, she's really nervous. She's really upset. She's just losing it. Could you go in and talk to her? And Brother Brown goes in to talk to her. And she's just all to pieces. And then Brother Brown sees a vision that she was out with another man while her husband was over in Europe. And he tells her what he's seen. Oh, she just feels horrible. But she says, I've confessed that to God. And Brother Branham said, you didn't sin against God. You sinned against your husband. You've got to confess that to your husband. She said, oh, I could never do that. I could never tell him. He'd leave me. And Brother Branham saw another vision. He said, you can go ahead and tell him he's guilty of the same thing. So if you spoke evil against somebody, you can stay there all day long saying, God forgive me. But But unless you go to that person and say, look, I've said evil things about you, I want to ask you to forgive me, unless you do that, you can't get right. Amen. Let's stand. Don't look at your flesh. Amen. Look at the change that's happened on the inside. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, dear God, for the message that's been delivered. You've laid on our heart, dear God, how wonderful the word is. Truly, Lord, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, the Son is the Word. And Lord, the Word sets us free. It sets us free from condemnation of the devil. It sets us free from those things, Lord, that we can accept the righteousness of God. Us trying to make our own righteousness, as the Bible said, our righteousness is filthy rags to God. It's your righteousness. We're not righteous, no matter how, what kind of streak we have going. Maybe, Lord, we went a month without doing something bad. That still doesn't make us righteous. The thing that makes us righteous is that you died for us. You took our place, Lord, so that you became us, as the song said, so that we might become you. Lord, we're, as Paul says, we're putting off the old man and we're putting on the new man. Lord, I pray your blessings on the people this morning. Go with them as they go their ways. Lord, I pray the word has strengthened them and strengthens their walk and their service to you. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.